This ship's flodium just blazes with bright blue as the ship rises up.
Let's go.
20 feet into the air. And Oleg, I can see you raising your hand. How can I help you?
I would like to make a reaction.
Let me paint the scene here for this Nat 20 first, okay? We're gonna set it off. Time to step inside. Well, everything comes down to the dice. A table of friends and a DM. In a radical, magical fantasy land. In a radical, magical fantasy land. Welcome to the show. We are on our season finale. We didn't quite make it to 18 episodes. We're probably, who knows how these are all going to be diced, because I seriously predict that the last episode we recorded was so long, it's going to get spliced into two. We're all going to find that out as we go. So we're under 20, so I think that's still pretty good. Guys, welcome to the show. This is Down to the Dice, a live play D&D podcast for 5.5 edition. We're playtesting playtest material. Everything that happens in the show,
we love it. It's the best.
It's up to the players and down to the dice,
down to the dice,
and a little bit up to the DM, a little bit that the players don't steal from me. I'm going to introduce our amazing cast. We ended on a sick cliffhanger, so we're just going to dive right the freak in. Are you guys ready for your introductions? You better be. We're going to start with Alexander Anderson.
Aven Shadowborn here and ready for our finale.
Nice. Okay, now we have Dan Summer.
Hi, Conroy Kane. I play a Bat-Arding Rogue. I'm ready to not be sneaky. All right.
No discretion here. Next, we have Ryan Tunney.
Hey, it's me, Gorin, the lovable orc paladin. Just hoping I don't die. Yeah, let's be honest here.
And last but not least, we have Jake Joseph.
What's going on, everyone? I play Sean Degani, your tiefling druid with a chthonic background.
Alrighty. And just one little mini announcement. We're getting into our announcements proper in just a sec, but we are starting to finally proper record video. These will be released in some kind of unedited, maybe edited form on YouTube. You can always check us out there. There'll be a special announcement for all of our other socials coming up. But also, you're going to be able to see video of us on our TikToks, as well as artwork for all of our characters. If you're curious, if you're mind's eye, you want a little bit of help on that, because we got a lot of very vivid characters. So you can go on our TikTok, you can see us there.
We're all very handsome.
Starting very soon. Yes, extremely handsome, almost as handsome as we really are in real life. All right, are you guys ready for the announcements? Here they are. All right, announcement number one. We are playing playtest material for D&D's newest edition coming out in September of this year. It's called 5.5 edition right now, and while they're almost done finalizing it, the rules still change sometimes as they fine-tune it. So what our players can do with their characters sometimes changes too. It's happened a few times already, and like always, we try our best to let you know what those changes are. So just be patient. We're being patient too as the game comes into its final form. All right, announcement number two. We're doing a massive giveaway. We're giving away this newest edition's new core rulebook, and we're not just giving away one of them, but 12 of them. Yes, for the next 12 months, we're giving one away each month, and we'll be announcing them at the beginning of each month. As soon as the books drop in September, we'll be shipping them all out. We're very excited about this. You can enter this giveaway in three ways. One, join our Patreon, even the free tier, and that tier, even though it's free, still has awesome perks like free artwork, bonus episodes for each character, and maybe I'll make a Beethoven and Isabel side quest one day. Who knows, if I have time. Two, you can join our Discord. We're growing all the time, and we want you to join us. Just come in, introduce yourself, and you're automatically entered into the contest. And recently, we just discovered, like, we like to talk a lot about anime on there. Who knew so many of us shared that passion? And then three, when you leave us a five-star review, you get three raffles into the draw. How exciting is that? So, of course, we prefer five-star reviews, but we really love honest reviews. So, just when you can do so safely, leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That would help us out a ton.
Wow, that's exciting.
I'm so informed.
And okay, are you guys ready for the recap?
Yes.
Always. Okay. Honestly, I don't know if I am, guys. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Well, get ready for it, baby boy. Here it comes.
Ryan, I need my DM's in right here.
You guys ready?
Here we go. Let's go, Ryan.
In the last episode of Down to the Dice, we saw our party having an opulent lunch at the Nightgrounds estate. Futessant, the lord of the house, his brother Emery, his son Beethoven, and his daughter Istrabel, all of them are there with you eating. You're discussing potential next moves, and you relayed information to the Night Crowns, your employers for the last few weeks. You discovered that the assassination attempt on Beethoven's life a while ago is somehow connected to this cult of Gaia worshippers and to Stella, one of Futessen's old friends. You don't know much more than that. However, halfway through this lunch, there was a knock at the door, and Goran, you went to answer it. Seeing a package on the doorstep signed to you from apparently a fan, you opened this package, only to be staring into the face of a shrunken Medusa skull, which immediately began to turn you into stone. As your body seizes, the construction workers outside, previously repairing damages to the estate, took off their tool belts and revealed their cultist cloaks underneath, and they begin to rush past you into the estate. For what purpose? You can only guess in petrified horror. Goran, Shran, Conroy, and Aven, what happens next is up to you and down to the dice.
All right. Oh, baby. Let me establish the scene once more. Guys. Goran, the sun beats down, this noon sun hot on your skin, and yet your body begins to feel cold. Shran, Conroy, and Aven, you guys are sitting, eating a succulent lunch. When Goran goes to answer the door, you hear some brief interaction, kind of waiting. Then suddenly you hear hurried footsteps coming from one end of the hall. And out of that same hallway, but coming from a different direction, you hear glass break as hurried footsteps come in. As 10 cultists begin to pour into the room, brandishing scepters, weapons. I need everybody to get ready to roll initiative. But first, Goran, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Your eyes.
Come on, Goran. Let's go, Goran!
Your eyes close and you open them and you are in a different place. Physically, there is still a part of you that can sense you are turned to stone and you cannot move. But in this place, you have nothing on but a simple tunic and trousers. Your sword is gone. All your armor is gone. And you are in a long stone hallway. There are no lights, and yet there is a faint dimness with which you can see. Maybe 30, 40 feet down at the end of this hallway, you see a red light. What do you do?
So you're saying I can feel that I'm frozen. I reach my hands. Can I see them in front of my face?
You do. They are bare, no gauntleted plates. Just your bare skin.
Kind of start making fists as, you know, I know I'm stone, but the free-moving limbs are weird. I take a couple steps towards the red light. Do I hear anything?
Perception check.
A 9.
You...
It's okay, man.
Don't hear much besides a very faint...
I didn't hear that. Oh, there we go.
A faint breeze. That's very cool and all-consuming in this moment. And you do hear a distant sound of the rhythmic, all-too-familiar hammer on metal.
In the direction of the red light?
Yes.
And Gordon's footsteps slowly turn into like a slight jog and then, you know, a good run as he's kind of running, sprinting towards this.
You break out into a run. In the physical, you are a dark gray stone statue. Give me a strength saving throw.
Okay. Oh, Goran, come on, dog. You got this, Ryan. I'm there with you, man. I'm there with you, bro.
A nat 20.
No way! Yes, dude. Yes. You're alive!
That's me breaking
out.
That's me breaking
out. Yes.
Oh, please.
All right, baby.
My backdrop just fell.
Let's test it.
What? So you're kidding. Funny. Nat 20.
I swear right at it. Oh, and I'm ready to grab this first sorry sucker I see and feed him one.
Okay.
Oh, boy, guys.
If I break out.
I'm honestly at a loss.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, your NPCs, dude.
Wow. You cannot see this, but on the outside, if someone were standing on that porch, they would see your statue still holding this box. The box begins to smolder. And through the stone on your left arm, your tattoo begins to burn through.
Yes, guy.
I need everybody's initiative rolls right now.
Okay, let's all go, right, everybody.
See what happens.
Finally, a good roll. Nice, okay.
Okay, 25 to 20.
20.
22.
Another nat 20?
Come on.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Another nat 20. Wow.
Why are you just like going to take this? I don't know. We're going to need them later.
I'll pay for it in the end.
Okay. Let me write this down. Okay. Nat 20.
He's going to come back in record time. He's going to miss all
okay.
night.
Anyone else? Yeah. 25 to 20?
22.
You know what? That would have been good. That would have seemed good before the double nat 20 in a row. Okay, 20 to 15.
Ranger. Yeah.
What'd you get?
19 DM.
Beautiful. Okay. On there. Okay. And then I guess the only one remaining is Conroy. What'd you get?
9.
Okay, you're all the way down.
All right, man. We tried.
Do you know what? It's actually good to have someone at the end. Bring up the hammer. I was expecting to cut right to the action, but Goran, you get to go first. So the camera goes, it shoots from you, and then it catches a cutscene, and it goes right back to you as you glitch the
matrix. We have to finish this.
Like, no, the cutscene's not over! And
you can't skip this one.
Are running down this hallway. That red opening gets closer and closer, gets warmer and warmer. You break through this doorway. And you are suddenly struck by a wave of heat, like a sauna. Humid, hot. You're in a massive room. And now there is no doubting where the heat is coming from. Along this entire perimeter of the room, there is maybe a 10-foot landing all the way around that you could walk all the way across. From the north, south, east, and west, there are stone bridges that go towards the center of this room. But far down below, there is fire and smoke. And down there is where you hear this ting, 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 like a blacksmith, never breaking his rhythm. All this registers distantly in your mind as you see in the center of this room, where all these stone bridges lead, a massive statue. There is a stone throne, and sitting on it, perched, leaning his chin on one fist, resting on one knee, and with his other hand, he holds a chess piece that rests on a chessboard, all made of one piece of stone. The chess player sitting on that throne is entirely coated in plate mail, with one singular visor hole for his eyesight. You are looking at the throne of Solaris.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa, dog. Oh, man.
Is that it? That's the only thing in this room is him sitting there, or a stone statue sitting there?
That's the first thing you see. What do you
How much taller is it? Is it like the Hercules movie where he looks at Zeus and he's like gigantic?
Yeah. It's seated. He's 60 feet tall.
Oh, wow. I just kind of take it in and look. There's no like seat or anything there, or
there is a stone bridge leading towards the foot of the throne.
I walk towards the stone bridge, do a quick peek to make sure, like, does it look brittle? Does it look strong? Like, how's the foundation of this bridge? Could be like our relationship, you know?
Perception check or investigation check? Also, I love you guys.
Come on, man.
I got a... Sorry, you said investigation or perception?
Yeah.
A 16.
Man, Gordon.
Looks solid.
He's like the best rolls I got all season. Let's go.
Looks solid as a rock.
I take a step on it, and after a couple steps, I begin to... Actually, I walk across it. I'm in no hurry.
Okay. As you step, the first footfall feels cold under your bare foot. And then so does the second one. You have maybe 30, 60 feet to cross. But as you continue to approach the throne, it gets warmer under your feet. And then it begins to get hot. You are now maybe 15 feet away from the throne.
Like, how hot are we talking? Like, you dipping your toe in the bath or?
Like, hot, like sunny day, you're walking on sand.
I begin to pick it up then, just try and get over the last little bit as quick as I can.
At least it's sand and not asphalt, so.
That's coming. Yeah, you begin to hasten your steps when the slot for Solaris's vision in his helm begins to lighten with a white light. You begin to hear a voice. Aven, it is your turn.
Oh my God.
As these cultists begin to rush in, and you hear Ishtrabel go, "What?" And Beethoven says, "Whoa, what's going on?" And Emery and Futescent don't say anything as they begin to stand, but your cat-like reflexes let you go first in this moment. And because of my narration at the beginning, these guys do not look like construction workers anymore. They have ripped those disguises off from top of the head all the way down to their toe. They are now in cultist mode. And they are there. What do you do?
So Aven has hand crossbow. He pulls it out. And with his bonus action, he's going to quickly cast Hunter's Mark.
Okay. What does that
do? Yes, guy. Yes.
So, in other words, it doesn't give me any kind of advantages, but what it does is it gives me a additional d6 of damage. And I believe it allows me to have proficiency in tracking them up to a distance away.
Okay.
So I look at one of the ones coming from behind, and I Hunter's Mark one of them, and then I pull out the hand crossbow, and I go to take a shot with it.
So just knee-jerk reacting, you get the spell off with your left hand, you pull out this loaded crossbow, you point it. Five are coming from the left of the table, and five are filtering in around the right of the table, because there's only one entrance as they come into this room. You let off a shot, roll the hit.
Come on, man. Let's go. Come on.
please don't say this is a bad shot. An 11?
Come on, Oleg. Let's go, Oleg. Come on.
11?
11 to hit? Is that to hit?
It's a hit, yeah.
Too fast. You hear it clink against the back room.
Man.
Do you do anything else?
No, but Aven is going to keep eye on who he has his mark on.
Okay, and for all the gamers out there, a little red circle appears above this guy. He is Hunter's marked. Thrawn, it is your turn. Your back is to them initially as they begin to filter in because you're sitting across from Aven. At first, you see Ishtrabel's eyes look up behind you, widen in fear. Beethoven initially begins to stand up as Futessa and Emery do the same thing. You hear Aven stand up. He does a small sigil with his hand, points it forward. You feel some magic brush past you. He shoots his crossbow like way off into the middle of nowhere. And all this movement is happening behind you. What do you do?
So I guess I'm kind of turning over I'm looking over my shoulder, DM. And as I say, well, the welcoming party's a little light, isn't it? And I turn and I put both hands on the edge of the table and I look over at Istra and Beethoven and I say, you guys got a panic room? You better get there right now. And I push myself up, I back up, and I run into the crowd of these soldiers, the closest five coming up to me.
Ooh.
And I go to superhero, pound the fist down into the floor, and I cast Thunder Wave.
What?
Nice. Let's go, guys.
Dude, nice. Just end it early. Don't crack the stone, though, man. Could be detrimental.
Okay. Can you describe what that does, please? I got a lot of saving throws to roll.
With pleasure, DM. A wave of thunderous force sweeps out from you. Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from you must make a constitution saving throw, DC 14 in this case. On a failed save, the creature must take 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from me. On a successful save, they take half the damage and are not pushed.
Okay, let me
Now, this is audible at 300 feet, DM.
Ooh.
Oh, it is. Okay, that will change.
Essentially, everybody in the manor knows this party is hopping. It's kicking, baby. Okay. Let's go.
What's your spell save DC?
14.
14, okay. Oof.
I'm surprised I knew that.
Okay.
All right, second energy drink in a row. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm right behind you. Five of them fail and literally get blown back into the hallway and against the wall. Roll your 2d8 damage, please.
Okay, come on, guys. Let's go. Five?
Yep.
Plus... five, baby, 10. Let's go.
Okay. The four that, or the five that get blown back, their faces smash against hard timber frames. One of them trips on another, and he like backs and he lands awkwardly on his neck, football replay style. And the five that are behind them, they don't get thrown back, but the five that are in front get pushed back, buying you all some dire needed time. But they all take some damage. The ones that save take half damage of that. I'm trying very hard to keep it all in my sheet right here of all the damage. Wow. Okay. Amazing. You are still surrounded by three of the cultists that did not fail this saving throw, and they are right beside you, sneering. It is now the cultist's move. One who is at the very back, he comes in and he has no weapons, but he does have a cloak, and he seems to be holding his cloak in front of his chest like a shield on both with both arms. As he comes into the room, he sidesteps and steps over another cultist. Immediately, Avon and Shran, your skin prickles at this guy's entrance, as you guys are more attuned to magic than most. He opens his cloak. You instantly tell this guy he's a cultist, but the name above his head is not in white. It's like red letters saying like he is like more difficult than the other cultists. And he opens his robes, and you see a frightening mirage in these robes. And it looks like undulating, not Medusa, but of some horrible beast, as you all, with disadvantage, must make charisma saving throws to not be frightened.
Oh, guys, it's over, man. This is,
hey, I can't even be frightened.
I will roll for Istrabel, Beethoven, Emery, and Futessen.
Guys, I want to show you what I rolled here.
Lower. Yeah, right there. Oh, no.
Why don't you tell a camp? Why don't you tell everyone listening?
Sean got a nat 1.
All right.
But hey, he did his best.
Oh, boy.
15. Wow.
Went out with the bang, guys.
Don't write your tombstone before you're any, like, yeah.
Heard it here first, guys. Don't write your tombstone before you're dead.
Don't get caught. Don't get spot, man.
Avon, what about you?
Charisma? 15.
15. All right. Very interesting.
Very interesting. What does that mean?
Nat 1, are suddenly transfixed on the insides of this robe.
Man.
Conroy, Avon, Shran, this robe elicits subconscious and active memories of things you fear, bringing them from deep inside those secret places in your heart, and it brings them to the front of your visual senses. What do you three see? Shran, we'll start with you. What is it you see in this moment of fear?
DM. For many days, Sean has been trying to make sense of these visions he's been having. And I don't think there's much that scares him more of that. If anything scares him more than that, it's the idea of falling to the core. Do you want me to roll or what?
No.
You tell me.
Okay, no, that's fine. Conroy, what about you?
I kind of see flashes of a few different things, like past stuff, but like more elevated or more intense. Like I see flashes of like a giant battle and just probably more bloodshed than there actually was. And then I see flashback of me getting attacked by that flying creature, but like I probably in this vision I see like probably dozens of them.
Wow.
But those are probably the two main ones that would be in the forefront of my mind, and probably actually recently the Aether Wing or the Crystallon Worm would probably maybe they wouldn't last as long, but I would get a vision of those, but probably a more like menacing version of them. Yeah.
Okay. Avon,
you already know Avon's fear quite well. He's dealt with it a couple times in past episodes.
Spiders.
When he sees the robes open, it's just darkness. empty dark void and a pair of eyes looking out.
I didn't realize darkness scared you, bud.
Unfortunately, all three of you fail on a wisdom saving throw.
It was charisma.
Your charisma saving throw. You now have disadvantage on ability checks, attack rolls from this cultist with this robe, and you cannot approach that character.
Is this the one that I hunter's marked out of curiosity?
No. He was last to enter.
Yeah, you let the pawns go first, that's for sure.
Now, to speed this along, because I'm looking at a checklist of like 8 cultists that still have to go, we are going to turn this for a moment into a skill challenge as 9 of these cultists jump over the table, run around the table, as you see them all go to grab Istrabel. Beethoven.
Yeah, some of them are prone, I think.
Yep, some of them are behind. Beethoven tries to get in between them, but he backs away, as you can see, Beethoven. The same fear in his eyes as he tries to move forward. But you can see that this cultist is strategically approaching in a way that pushes everyone back. The only person who does not move, who made their save.
I know who it is.
Emery.
Oh, I knew it. I knew all that. Oh, I don't trust that guy at all. I know he's up to something.
He stands up. He says, he looks horrified still. But he holds up his hands and he says, hey, hold on. We have money. And the first cultist that gets to him with the hilt of their hammer just smashes it right under his eye into his cheek. You hear a definitive crack of bone.
Oh, my God. Man.
And he whimpers.
I kind of liked Emery.
And he falls like a bag of bricks, still moaning as he holds his face. Now partially caved in. Futescent is screaming. Yes. Futescent is screaming, but he too backs up and he grabs a dinner plate and tries to throw it at a cultist, but his aim is at, well, I should give him fair try.
Absolutely.
Come on, Futescent. He does let's hit go, man.
This cultist. Oh, yes. A saucer flies and crashes into a cultist. But even he must back up in this moment. Aven and Sean, your turns have already come up. Conroy, it's up to you. You have a skill challenge here.
Come on.
What do you want to do?
Connie, come on,
I'm
man.
So stressed.
You can do it, man. You can do it, Connie.
So a skill challenge basically against all these cultists. Like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
But it's at disadvantage, bro.
As long as you're in sight.
So if he hides under...
And Goran, we're coming up on you.
I need to
Goran's over here having a nice talk with the
I
deity.
I want to break free. I would rip these guys in half.
Why do you think they Medusa'd you, man?
Oh, I know Dan's taking it, but you are building Medusa'd. You are building such stress in me. Like, I'm angry. Oh, I'm just helpless. It's been fun, guys. I'm out.
At the end of the last episode, you said nothing would affect our friendship.
You promised.
Okay, Conroy, what do you do? All these cultists are kind of blending their turn into one to kind of move as a collaborative effort. It is now your turn. You are sitting directly beside Shran. These cultists are now moving around the table towards Istrabel, who is directly across from you. And the cultist with the robes is maybe 5 feet away from her, closing in, and she looks the most petrified of all. Or not literally petrified, but she looks horrified. Right. It's your turn. What do you do?
I'm going to try to take the hide action as my using my cunning action.
Okay.
So I need to make a stealth DC 15, which I do. I rolled 21.
Nice. Okay. Nice. Wow.
Yeah. So, in the midst of all this flurry, you disappear under the table.
Yeah. I want to use like the table and like the chairs to kind of like hide.
I picture like Matilda. She's holding herself up under the table.
With Trunchbull?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm technically have the invisible condition.
Yes, you do. Yes, guy.
And,
good thing too.
I want to try to find Goran.
Okay. You know that he left the room to go answer the door down the hallway. So that's where you last saw him go right before all this happened. So yeah. You would know, I'll give it to you. You would know he's probably down the hallway. In what state? You have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. So then, yeah, I use my full movement to get as far as I can while still like being behind like cover and stuff. And
okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. You're invisible in this. You're essentially invisible. You... And you, like, misty jump over one of the cultists still getting to his feet. You slide underneath another one. as they're all just like man rushing this doorway to get into this dining room. And you see standing right in the double doorway, main entrance of this house, you see the broad 7.5 foot tall body of Goran standing there, his elbows perked at his ribs like he's holding something in front of him. You do notice some smoke behind or in front of him. So not that you can see its direct source. And you do notice a slight glint coming off of his left shoulder. But he is kind of silhouetted in the sunlight. You can't tell much more about him, but he is standing there.
Okay.
And I'd say he's maybe like 15 feet away from you.
Okay. That's my turn.
Sick.
All this is happening. Goran, you have approached this statue that begins to speak. And he says, "Why is your heart so troubled?"
Do I, like, is it obvious that it's this thing?
You definitely hear talking it to me? In your head, like telekinesis, but in the with the pronouncement of each syllable, you see the visor, the light coming out of the visor, pulse.
Oh, okay, so kind of, okay. I was hoping that's an answer you could give me. Because I know I gave my all to you.
You hear now what that was really just the undulating of flames and smoke from far below in the forges. And you hear ting, ting, ting. And you hear that voice say, ting, ting, ting. "Why is your heart so troubled?"
Are you not hearing me again? That this is what you were supposed to help me with. You came at my most desperate time. You're supposed to help me, to guide me.
Oh, Goran. My heart goes out to you, man.
You see the statue finally move as the hand on the chessboard opens. And it moves and it grabs another chess piece on the board and begins to lean his hand as if to drag the chess piece, but the chess piece seems stuck to the board. And the voice says, "Imagine the frustration when your pawns don't move."
That's your metaphor.
What does that mean?
That's your way of saying I'm not going in the direction you want me to. I'm very confused. I'm doing everything by you. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and nothing's working.
Man.
And he says, "Are you angry, my child?"
Angry is an understatement to what I've faced and what I've went through.
"And who is the source of this strife?"
"As of right now, it's you. Gave you everything. I've carried out your wills, and I see criminals walk. I see this world rid with evil. What is changing?"
You feel a deep tremor in the bridge.
Oh boy.
On the platform.
Goran, man, you pissed him off.
Does it break?
Nope. You realize he's chuckling.
Like, I can hear it?
Yeah.
I take a couple steps towards him. "I don't know what you find so funny about this. I've done everything right by you, and still nothing."
You suddenly see the hand on the chessboard move again, much faster, as it flicks a chess piece off the table, and it falls, and it lands and crashes on the bridge, as it is maybe like 12 feet long, and it crashes right on the bridge, a massive crack in the bridge. You feel the whole thing tremble, and you are staring at an enormous chess piece of a knight, and across his chest, this fallen chess piece is holding a massive sword. And he says, "If you're angry, what are you gonna do about it?"
Yo, Solaris, let's go.
"I don't know if you see me as some kind of joke. I don't know what you see me as, really, but if it's a fight you're looking for, this isn't one I'm trying to take. This is answers I need."
Give me a strength check.
I'm gonna freaking kill this guy.
Okay. Okay.
17.
17.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Conroy, you see a little more clearly Gorin's body begin to tremble. And you actually see, as you look now, you realize he has no shading or coloring to him. It's all, he's all one color. And he begins to crack as pieces of stone begin to flake off.
Come on, man.
Back in your mind, Gorin, you hear another voice, more urgent, more energy this time. As you hear the fires below begin to grow hotter and rise. And he says, then be one of the few of my chess pieces that move and pick up that sword.
How close is it to me?
It's like maybe 5 feet, maybe 10 feet ahead of you.
I take a couple steps into a run, and yeah, I want to run by it, pick it up by the handle, and scream, just, then come face me!
Yo.
You run up. By now, your feet are burning on this stone tarmac. It's, you can feel your feet begin to blister and steam as you run. As you go and you pass by the statue that's taller even than you, you grab the sword with one hand, two hands, and it begins to, it catches at first. As it grates out of the stone grasp, you wrench it free. You are running with it trailing behind you. What do you do next?
Well, I'd like to think that Gorin's tears are cooling his feet down. It's a little emotional right now, but wow. I grab it with two hands on the hilt. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
two hands on the hilt. And I'm kind of, it's not dragging on the ground, but it's by my right side. And I just, like, what am I running at? His feet, really, if he's that tall?
Yeah, or his throne.
Okay, so I, yeah, grab it by, like, two hands by the hilt, and it's alongside me as I'm running towards his throne. I just scream, come face me!
Amazing.
Oh, girl, let's go!
Roll to hit.
Oh, boy.
Come on, man. Come on.
Is it a long sword?
Oh, man.
This is a great sword, but just roll like your standard sword attack.
That is a 21.
Oh! Yes, Gorin, come on. Zack!
Feet burning, hands now burning. You bring this sword across with a massive windup. Just like in Dark Souls, it takes a long time to... And you are predicting that it's going to just rebound off of this stone. As the sword hits the stone, it slices through, and you see nothing inside as it peels apart like tissue paper and tinfoil. And the whole thing begins to unpeel, and you see just in that little glimpse inside of this massive space, inside this tinfoil statue, you see a figure of glowing light orbiting in place. Far from you. And he says, are you ready for the truth? And your eyes open. And you are looking out across the Nightgrounds estate.
Oh! Do I see Conroy?
No, you are just looking out across this field. Avon, it is your turn.
Oh, my
gosh. Wow. Wow.
Hey, this is Adam, and I'm just popping in to say thanks for listening to Down to the Dice. If you like what you hear so far, don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review in your podcast app because it helps other people to find the show too. Also, it would mean so much to me and the guys if you told a friend about our podcast face to face. We're going to get back to the show in just a second, but first, I want to let you know that this week's episode of Down to the Dice is brought to you by Francie Planet and his first ever release, Storyboards, which features neither masters nor demos, but stripped down acoustic work tapes. Each one of these whimsical narrative songs feels like a trip to Blockbuster with clever, candid lyrics rolling like subtitles in a Spielberg flick. Find Storyboards by Francie Planet wherever you get your music and be an active protagonist in your own story. All right, that's all from me. Let's get back to the show.
So, Avon...
Come on,
quickly reloads the crossbow with his bonus action, and he, instead of looking at his hunter's mark now, he's looking at the one in the robe, and wants to try and hit him.
Roll with disadvantage, baby.
But to hit the thing which he fears.
Okay. Oh, good for you. Good for you.
You said with disadvantage, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I rolled 10 twice, which means it is a 15.
Boom. Yes, that hits.
Nice, man.
Your crossbow bolt flies true. And it. So are you trying to hit him or the rope?
Like I'm. So he has the rope open, correct?
Yeah.
And that's.
As he walks kind of like a stalking bird.
Yeah, so, towards Ishmael. So like aiming like mid-center instead of like aiming small like with the head or anything like that.
Okay. Just for like center mass.
Center
you
mass,
hit,
yeah.
Roll damage.
All right. So first I'm going to roll damage for the crossbow bolt.
Okay.
Oh, well, I can only roll damage with the crossbow bolt. But I will be using Savage Attacker, which means that I will take the die, roll it twice, and take the higher number.
Love it. This is a good time to use that.
I can use it once per turn, so... And that was... 5 damage.
5 damage. By the way, Sharon, you're on deck. 5 damage. This thing mm-hmm. plunges into his ribs. He's not one of the ones that failed his Thunder Wave save, so he is bloody, but still on his feet. Ah!
Quick question, DM. Does that in any way interrupt the abilities of the robe, though?
No, because it's not a spell he's cast. It's an item he's using, so he doesn't have to maintain concentration on this.
Good to know. Thank you.
Using items. What the player should have been doing all along. And, Sean, it is your turn.
Okay, DM, does that mean, like, all the cultists and this and the Big Daddy cultists have all approached the table to kind of abduct Ishtabel, it looks like? I left the table to go do my Thunderwave. Does that mean I'm kind of on my own right now?
Yeah. You're like by the entrance to the dining room.
Okay. But I can see all these guys and they're about to grab Istra.
Yeah.
Okay. I curse under my breath and I, with one hand, I reach into my pack. And in the other hand, I reach into my shirt pocket or the pocket inside my leather jacket. And I take out Mozzie and I kiss him and I say... Don't leave me, mate. And I just hurl that rock as hard as I can towards the crew of cultists, not aiming at any in particular. And in my left hand, I pull out my Wand of Blossoming Bloom, which I can use to rapidly grow plants. We have established that Mozzie is covered in moss, and I just want to create some kind of hindrance. If I can get to any cultist, namely the Big Daddy cultist, I'm just on a hope and a prayer, baby.
Okay. I'm going to say roll. You can instantly, without having to roll, create difficult terrain in this room as the item dictates. But if you want to do anything in particular, like grabbing someone, that will be like a spell check. You'll have to roll casting for that, which you will have disadvantage on.
Man, forget that. I'll do difficult terrain. I got difficult terrain all up in that meal place, man. It is difficult
okay.
terrain.
You throw Mozzie, and it goes. First off, roll to hit. Are you trying to hit anyone with it? Or are you just kind of chucking it like a grenade?
A nade, baby. Sticky
nice.
Nade.
Nice. Mozzie nade. I want to teach you Mozzie that,
nade,
listeners.
Baby.
And as it lobs, you do see a few tests and go, what? And then this rock just explodes with moss and strands of different fungi kind of escape from it. Ooh. As it lands on the table, spatters on some of the guards. Actually, let's see. Not enough to cover the robe with moss, does quickly spread all over the floor. Mozzie becomes embedded in moss on the ground, deeply entrenched.
Good boy.
You have done that. Do you do anything else?
Yes. I, with a bit of dramatic flair, I throw my right hand behind me and my left hand in front. And with my bonus action, I wild shape into a wolf.
Amazing. Great. You turn into a wolf. Can you do anything else? You have movement.
Well, I have movement, but I can't approach. But
I'm
I
there,
do
though.
Maintain the ability to speak. As the new playtest material has deemed, I can speak with my normal voice.
Ah, okay.
And I say, Istra, it's going to be okay. Just stay here.
Okay. It is now 9 of the cultists' turn.
Oh, boy. Man. We're trying, guys. We're trying.
All right.
And it's just me and Tron in the room right now, right? Because.
Yeah. And
yeah,
Beethoven
did the big
and
little guys go?
Who effectively are kind of rendered useless in this moment because Beethoven doesn't have any of his items with him. He's back against the wall. A few tests the same. All right.
Man.
4 of the cultists stay behind. One of them breaks the window next to them.
I knew it.
and the other three grab Istrabel and they jump through the window.
Oh no.
Istrabel, what about difficult terrain, DM?
That's why they went through the window. And but you know what? I will say they lose some movement doing so because of the difficult terrain. But you see three of these cultists jump out of this window. Istrabel looks, and her wide eyes look to you, Aven, look to you, Tron, look to Beethoven, and Beethoven screams in futescent curses, and they are losing some of their, they've lost their composure, and you can see distantly, Emery is just beginning to grab onto the edge of the table to try to bring himself up, but he is clearly bleary. You see them disappear from view as they begin to run towards the barn. Conroy, it's your turn.
Yo!
Oh.
Yo, they do. Let's go.
Guess I saw Gorin trembling, right? His body trembling, but I didn't really see him move. Like,
yes. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm going to approach him as I'm like kind of yelling at him. So, Gorin, we need help. What are you doing?
I got this cool package, eh?
Patience, my child. Yeah.
And as I'm going to approach him, is he still, what does he look like?
You see, he is breaking free from stone, but he is having trouble breaking these stone plates off. They have come off of his face, and he is sucking in deep breaths of air as you realize his body has gone almost an entire minute without oxygen. Whoa, but you see where the stone is beginning to crack and maybe could be pried off.
Good thing I have a crowbar.
Oh, yo! Let's go! Smack me up, dude!
Comes with starter equipment, people!
I'm gonna grab my crowbar and start, trying not to hurt him, but like, yeah, pry off these pieces of stone and, yeah, maybe, yeah, just any to help him in some way.
Okay, I'm gonna say you have advantage on this because you're used to crowbars, thieves' tools, and you're not in line of sight of the cult leader. So, do your thing.
Be? Like a strength?
Or I'll say sleight of hand too, because it's more about getting the leverage in the right spot. But you choose.
Sleight of hand.
Well, that's surprising.
It's going to be a total of 25.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah, you basically just like spin your crowbar, tap it, ding, and all this like flakes off. And Gorin, you are free. As Connor
no
just.
No way!
Yeah. You are free.
It's not my turn, but I look and I hug Conroy.
Okay, you turn and flashbacks come in your mind of when you and Conroy just a few days ago talked about whether or not you could trust each other. And then this, he jumps up and you scoop down and you pick him up and you embrace this little bat friend.
We got stuff. There's cultists. They're trying to. I don't know what's happening in the room, but I came to find
Gorin,
you.
Stop! We gotta save Istra. And okay, that's your turn, Gorin. You're up.
Yeah, I genuinely like just theatrical. I grab Conroy. Thank you, friend. Where are the children?
I'm assuming they're back in the dining room. Maybe carry me with you so I don't have to run.
Absolutely. I throw him on my grab him by under the arm.
That's awesome.
Conroy, what's the last thing you saw before you left the room? And as I'm running. I want to take like a mental note. Do I have a weapon on me?
You have none besides your javelins unless you left them upstairs.
No, I thought Gorin would have left. Yeah, he would have just like put all his weapons away before dinner.
You
that's
have a
okay.
Conroy, man.
No, that's okay. I got a friggin' feeder.
Nice. Yeah, you still have gauntleted fists. Okay, yeah, you run, and if you're running back towards the dining room, it's just like 30, 40 feet down the hallway. You, Conroy says, there's cultists in the room. You round the corner. You see a large timber wolf there. You see Aven just kind of like looking like, yo, I got a crossbow. And Beethoven and Futescent are pressed against the wall. They're looking out the window, and Emery, he is just beginning to stand. And he looks at you and says, holding his face, he says, where the hell were you?
So I'm in the room now?
Yeah, you're like in the dining room entrance.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to Emery, but as I come in, I like clap my hands together and then put them out, and I'm going to cast Bless on the three homies that are in here.
Amazing.
How many can I do again? Wait, Bless. How? You know what? No, I look at Futescent and his two kids. I'm sorry, guys, and I cast Bless on them.
So it's only Futescent and Beethoven in the room besides Emery. Just because
she left.
Yeah.
Not voluntarily.
They have to be within 30 feet of you. Everyone in this room is within 30 feet. You can get anyone in this room that you want to.
But I'm saying, hypothetically, if he... Okay, so I cast Bless on those three. I want to tell Conroy, go try and find Ishtrabel, if he listens, whatever. But I'm saying, if he were to leave, would his Bless be worn off if he left?
No, they have it for the minute.
Okay, then I bless Conroy.
And who else do you bless, just to clarify? Final list.
Futessen and Beethoven.
Okay, you bless Beethoven.
Yes.
Futessa.
Oh, okay. Can I maybe up this DM? Because I wanted to say something.
Yeah.
I run in and I again clap my hands together, and this blue kind of energy comes out. Futessa and Beethoven are blessed, and I reach behind me and I touch Conroy and I bless him. Actually, and I ask because I guess I wouldn't have known this. Where's Ishtrabel?
She was in the room before I came to get you. I don't know.
Did I make an entrance coming in the room? Like, did I like boom through the door?
Yeah, there's four cultists still there standing next to the windows, weapons drawn to like try to defend.
I'm like stand up towering, kind of chest puffed, and I say, you guys had me out. You should have made sure I was dead. And I'm with my next turn, I'm gonna start running towards them. I know I don't have movement left, but
Goran, I love that. Why don't you roll intimidation for me? And this will also serve to help, if it's high enough, to help break the fear that is on everyone.
Oh, let's test it, guys.
Come on, man. Let's go.
A 13.
13. It is not enough to break the fear on your comrades, but it is enough to shake...
To get some aggro?
To shake these cultists' confidence, and they begin to wane and back up away from you. Aven, it is your turn.
Now, I see the window that's broken, correct?
Yeah.
That they took her out?
Yeah.
Is that towards the gentleman with the item that's using the Furus, or is that away from the item?
When you look out the window, the cultist with the robes has Ishtrabel over his shoulder, and he is running, carrying her towards the barn where you know they store skyships.
And we can't run toward... Well, can't we run towards him now?
You cannot.
Well, if the train wasn't difficult, it'd be easier.
Oh, come on, I'm trying.
Actually, do you know what? You get to make a saving throw at the beginning of your turn now, and you'll have advantage because his robes are closed and he's running away.
Okay, still charisma, or is it...
Yeah, charisma saving throw. It's a pretty high DC.
Okay.
Come on, Aven. Have that charisma, baby. Come on. You can do it. You can do it, man. Come on!
It's an 8.
8? You do not succeed. It is beginning to wane. Because he's running away from you, it will be over at the end of your next turn.
Okay.
You can still do something.
I know what I want to do then.
Okay.
I want to cast Fog Cloud between me and the window.
Yo, yes you do. Yes, you do.
And I want to take off through the fog cloud in that direction.
The reason for doing this is so that you're not afraid because you can't see where he is.
I can't see him anymore, yes.
I love it. Okay, you cast it. You don't need to roll for this.
That's still a very big, brave, dog.
Bloom of fog just erupts from the ground and spreads out. For a moment, you feel a different kind of fear because this is like darkness, but it spreads out a 20-foot radius. And what do you do?
I sprint through the fog.
And jump out the window. After the vault, you are going through difficult terrain. Mm-hmm. So we'll say you lose 10 feet getting off through the window, but you book 20 feet, you land, you end your movement in the fog cloud.
Okay.
Okay, Sean, you're up.
DM, I hop up on the table as fast as I can as a wolf. And this time I'm very confident I can jump on the table, okay? Getting a bit of a flashback here. And I would like to, I quickly see the fog cloud.
Yep.
And I pounce out that window. And I, you know what? I book it to where the sky jets are. If I got to run through the fog cloud, so be it.
Okay. I was looking forward to doing this with you. As a wolf, because you are not a human, I'm going to give you advantage on your saving throw against the sphere. So because you already have advantage because he's running away, you'll have double advantage on this. So if you fail, there's really nothing else I can do for you as you're using your wolf senses here.
Come on, guys. 11, DM.
Not enough.
For real?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But you still pounce out the window and you get into the end of the fog cloud. You're maybe 10 feet past Aven. Aven, you see a wolf right beside you in the fog cloud. You are like literally on the end of the fog cloud and you hear Ishtrabel screaming, "Let me go! Let me go! Help!" The cultist, it's now their turn. Goran, because of your intimidation, I should have mentioned, these cultists didn't attack you guys as you jumped out the window. They're kind of backing away. Otherwise, they would have had attacks of opportunity on you guys, but they kind of let you guys jump through the windows. But now it is their turn. The four inside are kind of backing away, but the four outside, plus the cult leader, are dashing towards the barn. As best as you can tell, Conroy, it's your turn.
Does that not mean there's a missing one? I thought there were
10. He died when he jumped out the window.
So sorry. I know it's, yeah. Goran knows at this point that Ishabel's gone.
Yeah, you can hear her screaming outside the window.
I say then, I can take it in here, guys. Go get her.
Yeah, I'm going to follow Shran and Aven. Are there cultists in the way as I... from me to the window?
They've kind of backed up away. You could jump in, like, somersault out the window if you wanted to.
Could I glide from Goran's shoulders?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I give him a little jump as like a head start.
You put your elbow up like a perched falcon.
Yeah. Fly, my friend, fly.
I glide out the window. I land, and yeah, I want to use my full movement, and I guess, would I be in the fog cloud
if
then?
If you're doing your full movement, including like a dash, I'd say you'll get like 10 feet, maybe 20, 15 feet past the fog cloud. Oh, okay. And also roll a saving throw for me for your fear with advantage.
Oh, right. And I'm blessed.
Ah!
Come on, Connie. That's
so
right.
That would be a 16.
16? That just beats it. You are no longer afraid.
Yo,
Conroy,
yes,
you overcome your fear.
Finally, guys, we're coming together.
Nice. Yeah, you land, right, you go into this fog cloud. It's all foggy. You can't see. And then suddenly, it breaks free. And you see these guys, just two of the cultists on each side of the barn door, pulling the barn doors aside as one cultist has Ishabel, and they disappear inside the barn doors as you land outside.
So they've entered the barn?
One has with Ishabel. The other two have just opened the doors. They're probably going to follow.
How, you said I dashed. I'll use the dash as a part of my cunning action.
Amazing.
So how far is the closest cultist, and how far is the farthest
60,
cultist that 60 I can see?
And 80.
Okay. Oh, wow, and is the leader cultist somewhere in there?
He's just kind of entered. He's kind of like rounded the corner out of sight inside this barn.
I will shoot an arrow at the closest cultist.
Okay. What bow are you using?
Short bow. That's going to be an 11.
Oh, wait. 11?
Wait.
With bless.
It's going to be a 14.
Just hits, dude.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes, oh, yeah, you actually hit with a little bit more. But yeah, you easily hit.
Connie.
Roll damage.
It's going to be a 3 damage.
Okay. He is extremely bloody. This guy, as he was one of the ones that was Thunderwave, but he's still on his feet. Do you do anything else?
Okay. That's it.
Drawn? No, sorry. Goran, it's your turn. But you do hear Futescent and Beethoven. Enough time has passed. They stand up, and Futescent, he reaches back. There's a coat of arms on the wall. There's two swords there behind the shield. He grabs one. Beethoven grabs the other one. Emery is still staggering on his feet.
Father
and
son.
He flexes his hands. And the three Nightgrounds, they say, Goran, get my f***ing daughter back. We got this. And they go into like, ba-da-ba. They go to enter a combat with the cultists. And this is the DM saying, you're allowed to pursue the bad guys if you want to.
Yeah! I jump out the window. Is there like, no, I don't, I guess I don't take out a... How many are there in there?
Four.
And there's three of them?
Yeah.
Who's the closest? Is there a cultist close to me?
You'll have to pass two of them to get to the window unless you jump right over the table.
You know what? I trust them. Yeah, I jump over the table to go out the window.
Okay.
How far is it?
Like 10 feet, but it'll cost you 15 because the last 5 is difficult terrain because of the moss.
Okay, I do that. And then how far to the barn?
Another like 60, 70 feet.
Okay, I use the remaining 15 feet I have, and then I'm going to dash to use 30 feet again. I'm just, basically I'm running to the barn.
And you end basically right inside the fog cloud. You're with Aven and the whole D&D thing. He's like, I haven't stopped running, but somehow you caught up with me.
On your left.
Yeah, he's still just running movement for the dialogue, but he's not going anywhere. Yeah, and Flash style, Aven, it's your turn.
Okay, so
come on, Aven. So let's go, dog.
Aven is going to keep running. I don't have to do the charisma roll anymore, right?
No, enough time has passed. Your fear is broken.
So Aven is going to continue running towards, and hand crossbow in hand, he's going to take a shot at the closest cultist that he sees there.
Okay. Yeah, you see one Ori with an arrow in him. So you can hit him or the one beside him or the other two.
I'm going to try and take this one out.
All right, do it.
Come on, Aven.
Roll to hit, baby.
Come on, take it to this
Meanwhile,
guy.
Your hunter's mark is telling you that one of the four that is standing at this barn is one that has the little red ring around it.
Okay.
But not the one that's already been shot.
So that's a 13.
13? 13 hits!
Okay.
Yes!
Nice.
Roll damage.
Yes, man!
And that is a 6 damage.
Oh, yeah. Boom. You take him out. This guy took massive Thunderwave damage. As you, the arrow just lodges in his neck, and he just pinwheels and falls to the ground. And the other guys, they're looking very alarmed now. They're looking, as soon as it's their turn, they're going to run inside the barn. Do you do anything else?
Yes. So when I reach the final 30 feet, I put my hand crossbow attached to my belt, and then I pull out the staff of snakes.
Okay. You are now 20 feet from the entrance of this barn. You're very close. You can see the white eyes of fear of these cultists, including the one that has the red ring drawn in your wolf form. You see all these shots coming out of the clouds. You are 35 feet away from this barn. Your turn in wolf form.
Man, DM, is there anyone directly in between me and the open doorway of this flight barn?
There are two cultists left.
Man, I go barreling through those guys. I'm howling and I'm charging those guys. I want in there.
Okay.
I got 40 feet. I don't even got a dash to do it, man.
Okay. You do your 40 feet of movement. Are you weaving, dodging these cultists?
I mean, if it's possible, yeah, I'd like to weave right past.
Okay, yeah, they're holding open these big barn doors, so they're not next to you. You go right through, arrows whizzing all around you. As you get into this opening of the barn, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, let's try it. Let's go. Cheer me on here, guys.
Let's go, let's go.
Hey, you said I'm keeping my stats or I'm using my wolf stats?
For your physical stats, you'd be your wolf. Strength, dexterity, and constitution.
It's 10.
10. All right. You...
Oh, wait. No. Sorry. Dex saving throw?
Yep.
Sorry. I just meant my dex saving throw is 11.
11? Okay.
All right. Well, you
do,
10.
Nice. You do save.
Yes!
As you come out, your whiskers, they twitch. As you look, you see racing towards you is a small sky jet. The sheet on it still flowing off of it. As you see, this cultist leader, he is in there. Istrabel is thrown onto the floor of it, and it is, and you just deke out of the way in your wolf form as this thing begins to go forward. He has a wand, this cultist.
He's in the ship. He's in that vessel now.
He is driving that ship with Istrabel. He has a wand in hand, and he is pointing it forward ahead of the ship. For what purpose, you cannot discern. It is still your turn. What do you do?
How close is the ship to me?
It just passed you as you did a dexterity saving throw.
Yo, I, bonus action, I turn back to Sharon Dagani, and I thunder wave that flotium as fast as I freaking can. Let's go. Ejection button.
That's a tall order, my friend.
Says the guy who wants to fight his literal god.
This thing is racing. Your dexterity save was only an 11.
Let's test it.
Dude, this is about as close to Gorin's episode 2 as you're going to get. Let's test it. I want to see a spell save. The spell always goes off, but instead of making a save, I want you to roll to hit with a spell attack for this. To get the timing of it fast enough is what you're trying to do.
I totally get a DM. I get that.
So he's saying you need to get a 20 or else.
Yeah. I want to use perception for this. Okay. Honestly, I don't know what you want me to roll. Like wisdom? So, wisdom is my spell modifier.
Like when you cast like Ray of Frost.
Yeah, your
or whatever.
Spell casting mod probably,
okay,
right?
Let's go, guys. Come on, dice. Let's go.
I think this is it.
Guys,
What?
I don't even need to add a modifier, baby. I got a nat 20!
No way! Come on!
No way!
That's not true!
No.
That's not true!
No way! No way!
That's what we needed. That's what we needed.
You're kidding me.
Read it and weep, dog.
Wow. All right. Bow, bow. I can hear the music that Francie's going to put on this.
Me too.
Okay. Okay. Don't worry, guys. Your nat ones are right behind. Okay. You are in wolf form. You come skidding. Arrows are flying around you. They fall into, they drive into these cultists. One kneels in pain. The other one shot in the neck and he just falls over. There's two, maybe 10 feet on either side. You hear this as this one ship is just beginning to get momentum. It's coming towards you. You go to dodge it, but then you realize this cultist is there. Istrabel's on board, and you stand up on your legs as your body rips. You feel that painful sensation as you rip out of your wolf form, agonizing but not enough to cause damage. And you are just on one knee, still pushing yourself up a kneeling position as you reach out to try to graze your fingertips against the hull of this ship to cast Thunder Wave, and your fingers just begin to, you feel the air, it's brushing past, and there's a little as this Thunder Wave, you are pushed back 5-7 feet as you stumble up onto your feet. This ship's flotium just blazes with bright blue as the ship rises up 20 feet into the air, as Flodium does when it's hit by a thunder wave.
Let's go.
And Olek, I can see you raising your hand. How can I help you?
I would like to make a reaction.
Let me paint the scene here for this nat 20 first, okay?
Oh boy.
The cultist rises up, and Istrabel, you can see her fly up. Oh, and well, she might fall out of this boat. Let's see. She flies up, and she manages barely to land back inside the ship as the ship begins to come back down. You do see her land in a bad way in the ship. Like, she lands like in a way that looks like she's landing like maybe like on her neck or on her back. It's hard to tell if everything's moving so fast. But with a nat 20, you're pretty sure it's not fatal. The cultist flies out, roll damage. You're going to double the damage for this.
Yo, let's go.
Damn, that was sweet.
A one. And an eight. So 9. So 18 damage, baby.
Wow. Okay. And he is just, he flies out of the ship rises up. And as the ship begins to sink, Istrabel crashes back onto the deck of it. As the ship begins to sink, he is still levitating a little bit as he is affected by some of the stray flotium energy. He's holding his chest and he... And a hole is blown into his chest as this thunder wave energy has collected. Ooh. And he breaks apart. The ship does not stop its momentum as it lands. It continues to race forward. Do you do anything else?
Man, I'm gassed. That was everything I had, man.
Okay. Conroy and Shran,
I say, help.
And Gorin, you guys see the ship begin to come like from your right to your left as it exits this barn on a 45. And you see Istrabel barely beginning to stand. As the ship continues to race, it is now the cultist's turn. But Aven, easy boy. Aven, what do you want to do in, with your reaction?
The whole reason why I pulled out the staff, try and attach to the ship if it's within 30 feet.
Okay. It is.
Come on,
your
Aven.
Staff has a range of 15 feet. But you, Aven, you do make eye contact with her, and you can see she has like a fresh scrape on her face where she like smashed her face on the floor of the ship. But she makes eye contact with you, and she, you know what, her eyes are just wide with panic and trying to get her bearings. It is now the cultist's turn. The one standing beside the barn, he sees everything that's happening. He pulls out a wand from his cloak, and he points it forward.
Ryan's ready to kick ass.
30 feet in front of Istrabel's careening ship, a blazing yellow light appears on a diagonal in the air. Maybe starting 5 feet above the grass, maybe stretching 15 feet. It begins to shower sparks of yellow magic. And as this cultist draws a diagonal line again, this yellow line parts open.
No way.
And through this opening, you see
a
bustling market of Kethlandon.
No way. No way.
And the ship skitters and passes and collides through. And it comes to a screeching, tumbling halt, almost rolling over. And people run. People who are just shopping for groceries at the farmer's market in Kethlandon, which is, you know, a four-hour carriage ride away, but yet now suddenly 30 feet away through this diagonal portal. Istrabel gets out of the skidding ship, and you see three or four cultists standing in front of the goblin's gauntlet. And it looks like they were waiting.
Kidding me.
And they rush towards Istrabel. And that's where we're going to end tonight's episode.
No way!
No way!
Hey, this is Adam, and I want to say thanks again for listening to Down to the Dice. If you like what you hear, please do not forget to subscribe, leave a review in your podcast app, and tell a friend about the show too. And hey, if you really want to support us, there's a link to our Patreon in the show notes where you can hear bonus episodes, including the prologues for all of our characters, and some pre-scatter episodes too. Down to the Dice is brought to you by our editor, Francie, at Hello Francie Sound and Story. You can find him on Instagram for all your sound design and podcast editing needs. And fun fact, Francie is also the singer of our theme song, and if you like that, you should really check out his brand new artist project, Francie Planet, wherever you get your music. Finally, speaking of music, our show's tunes are composed by our very own Jake Joseph, who plays Shrondagoni, with some exceptions, whose credits can be found in the show notes too. All right, that's all from me. Thanks again for listening to Down to the Dice. Let's roll that outro music.
We're gonna set it off, time to step.
Keep recording. It was just an hour and a half, so I thought, okay, we'll have to record another episode to really get the ending.
Is the episode done, or are we still going?
I just had to end it somewhere, because otherwise it's going to be like a three-hour episode. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
What time are we going to?
Well, we can stop now if we really want to and find another time to record, or we can go to like 11:30.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm down to 11:30.
Okay, we'll keep it fast.
How about we come back in 5 minutes?